Amen. That's the way we are. So I'm glad Dennis brought that up. Really encourage you to come. But Monday nights are going to be a time for us to practice on each other, to learn a little bit more. But I do want to spend the next couple weeks just talking about how we can engage people that we meet and encounter every day. And so it's the three circles, just a tool, right? That's can be very just on the back of a napkin. You can draw out the three circles, and what's good about this is just a template. You can make it any way you want to make it. I saw on, if you go on YouTube, people use different things in the circles and stuff, but they're all trying to bring the gospel. So this is just a template for us. And so Monday nights are a good place for us to practice on each other, do some role playing, and ask questions about, you know, how we can get over the fear of sharing the gospel with others. But I think this part of the Christian walk is so important for us. This is God's call, right? Scott talked about last week about God's calling his disciples for the Great Commission. And so I want to spend the next couple weeks just digging in and giving you guys, providing you guys the foundation for each one of those circles. God's design, right? Brokenness, and then the gospel. And so I want to provide you the foundation. So what I'm saying at the top of this is I don't want you to think that you're going to have to give all the information I'm going to give you today and the next couple of weeks in your presentation. This is for us as Christians to have the foundation to be able to draw out of the Word of God and to be able to use this three-circle tool, if you decide to use that as a foundation, as a template. And right, this is authentic. This isn't a sales pitch we're doing. We're encountering people who encounter brokenness every day, and we have the answer. We have the answer. And so this is a means in which we can turn that conversation into a gospel conversation and to be able to show them God's plan, God's redemption plan that's found in God's word. So I hope you'll bear with me as we go through these things, but this is foundational for us. You know, we are a small church. We're all praying that God would bring others into this church. But I think we need to be doing what God's asked us to do. There's no better way to grow a church than to go out and preach the gospel and ask people to believe on the Lord. And then say, guess what? You're part of God's family now. Come to church with me. Come grow with the saints, right? And that's been the model found in Scripture. And so that's my desire, my heart for our church is that, again, a lot of you have been walking with the Lord a long time, and it would be a travesty for us to not be able to disciple people, because my heart is not just to go out and get numbers and say we save four or five people, and then we never see them in church again. My heart is that we disciple them, that we make them walk alongside them and show them and model for them what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you all are equipped for that because a lot of you have been walking with the Lord a long time, and that's a blessing. And so anyway, if you want more, I think everyone should have the three circles thing in your bulletin. And then this is just a step-by-step what each circle is and the scriptures that the foundation are brought out of that. These are just, so it's just a life conversation guide for you to be able to take and to practice and to just kind of get to know. Because the biggest fear I have, I don't know about you, is that I don't know what to say when I like have a door of opportunity with someone out in the world in my workplace. And then what do I say? This is a great place to go to just reference a very simple tool to be able to reference that. So I have several of these. If you'd like one of those, please see me afterwards. And again, Monday night, it's just an opportunity for us to practice on each other and to ask questions. With the first night, we didn't even get into our Bible study because people had so many questions about how to witness and, you know, how to approach people. And so we just talked about it for 45 minutes. It's good. And plus, it's just good to be around fellow saints in the Lord anytime and every time. So hope you come and be encouraged that way. But if not, I'm glad you're here, and I pray the Lord will use this opportunity in your life today, because I'm going to get to preach the gospel today. And the gospel is the only important thing in this world. And so I'm so excited for that. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to be at this morning. We're actually in two different places, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 And then Genesis 1 is also where we'll be at today. So if you just kind of, Genesis 1 is pretty easy to find, right? but so you keep your, as we go to Genesis 1, you want to keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 5 because I'll be referring to that, back to that throughout the message. So understanding God's design is the message or the title of the message this morning. And so this is the example of the three circles. This is something that we can write on the back of a napkin or a piece of paper, right? And again, it's not a sales pitch. It's just, hey, I know you're experiencing brokenness. If there, I may not be experiencing the same problems or I haven't experienced in the past, but I have experienced similar things. Can I share with you something that's truly helped me and my family? Sure. Oh, great. Let me grab a napkin here. And then we start this conversation, right? So we've just turned that conversation from an everyday conversation into a gospel conversation. And this is what we're going to be focusing on. And again, it's because Jesus taught us his last words in Matthew, right? Or what? Everyone, man's last words are very important words, right? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So good news, the church, is it's not you and your strength and your power to go out and save people. It's because Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's going to empower us to do this mission that he's charged us with. But today I want to focus, instead of just on the Great Commission passage, I want to focus on Paul's writings there in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. And so this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them, look, this is what God has done. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So let's go ahead and read verses 16 through 21, and then we'll kind of dive into it afterwards, all right? So if you're there, read with me from verse starting in verse 16. From now on, then, we do not know anyone in purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Verse 18, everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And he explains this, what this ministry of reconciliation here is in verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. And this is our plea, right? This is our plea some 2,000 plus years later. This is the same, we have the same plea as they did back then. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you and are so thankful, God, to be reconciled to you. You're so good. Oh, God, it's so good to be in relationship with you. And it's so good to know that it has nothing to do from our righteousness or what we've done or memberships to anything, God, but because of what you have done through Jesus. You're such a good God, Father. Such a loving God. And we're so thankful for the message of reconciliation, which is the gospel, Lord. And so we just come before your throne, Lord, and we ask that you would do a work in each and every one of our hearts, God. There's many who do not know you. And you've charged us, Lord, to be ambassadors for you. So God, we just ask that you would use this moment, these moments as we open up your word, that you would draw us closer to you, that we might walk closer to you, that you would embolden us, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom to be able to carry to others around us that do not know you. God, we pray these things because our hearts hurt for those who do not know you. And Lord, we just call out to you and ask that you would use us as broken vessels, Lord, for your glory's sake in the preaching of the gospel. And we ask it in Christ's precious and powerful name. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be just focusing on that first circle, and that's God's design, right? Again, this is giving you a foundation. All this, these verses I'm going to give you today is the foundation for which we're going out into the world, and so we don't have to use all of it, but as Christians, we need to know why we're using this model and why we're going out, and we need to have the foundation that's in Scripture, found in Scripture, right? This isn't man's wisdom that we're trying to glean from to get people to come to our church. Right? Our goal is that God would save the lost around us. And as this verse demonstrates, we're the ambassadors, we're the messengers for this message of reconciliation. And so here in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, we see here that the ministry of reconciliation, what does that mean? It means ultimately restoration to favor. It means restoration, to be restored. And we see there in verse 19, there in 2 Corinthians 5, that Christ is the agent of reconciliation, right? He is the means in which we can be reconciled. He is God's agent of reconciliation. So we're not. A church is not. It is Christ and Christ alone. Right? And then his disciples are the messengers of reconciliation. So we see just out of there in verse 20, we're the ambassadors. And so it's the Western church as a whole has gotten to the point where they feel like, and it's just the culture, right? Where they hire pastors and ministers, much like you guys have, you know, hired me, but it, like in the Bible Belt and stuff. And then so we just come to think and come to arrive at the notion that it's the professionals' duty to go out and to be the ministers of reconciliation, that, you know, it's not your responsibility in the pew, but it's the professionals out there. It's the evangelists and it's the pastors. But that's not the case. And we can see that here in Scripture. Every child of God is an ambassador and should carry out the ministry of reconciliation to those around us. And so just think about it. There's almost around 70,000 people here in Idaho Falls. And so if it was just left up to me, like if the Bible said the pastor needs to go out and be the ambassador or the minister of reconciliation, right? One person to reach 70,000 people can't do it. But if each and every one of us in this room decide today that we're going to pray, we're going to think of one person that is far from the Lord, does not know the Lord, and we're going to pray that God opens a door of opportunity to witness to them one time this year, that you might have this opportunity to show them the gospel that's found in the three circles, or any way you want to present the gospel, right? You don't have to do it this way. If we all committed to that, how much exponentially will God's church, Christ's body, grow, right? Honestly, I don't care about, I mean, that'd be great if they come to here and be discipled here. Like I said, you guys would make wonderful disciplers. But it's not about that. It's about getting them into a saving relationship with Jesus. And so me going out encountering 70,000 people versus the entire church. And what happens if 5 or 10 or, you know, we see what God can do, right? We see in the book of Acts, we see in the awakenings in history, God can do amazing things when his gospel is preached. What happens if those 10 people go out and they tell another person? Exponential growth, right? Because we've all understand that this is God's plan. He's given to us the privilege. It's a privilege to be ambassadors for him. His disciples are the messengers of reconciliation. So that's point number one. And point number two, we can gather out of 2 Corinthians 5 there is we can conclude this. If mankind's relationship with God needs to be restored, we can naturally conclude that mankind's relationship with God is broken. Right? Meaning, if we're ministers of reconciliation, if we're carrying the message of reconciliation, that means something needs to be restored. And ultimately, we know that we are all born separated from our God. We have a relationship with him that is broken and separated. And it's evidenced in this world with all the brokenness we find all over the place, right? That's my evidence I present to you. Something's wrong. God's design is broken. So we can conclude that if there needs to be restored, then something's broken. Our relationship with our Creator is broken. God's word says that we encounter brokenness because we have departed from God's design. And so that's our first circle. God has a design for us. And it's found in the book of Genesis, if you want to turn there, Genesis chapter 1. So point one is God created us as humans, and he loves us, right? God designed the world and everything in it. We can find that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. And we see that in verse 4, right? If we start in chapter 1, we see that God begins to creating things. In verse 4, God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness, and God called the light day, and he said, and this was the first day, but God saw that the light was good, right? It was good. It was perfect. And in verse 10, God called the dry land on the earth, and he called the gathering of the water seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed and according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and that was on the third day. And you just continue to go through the creation account, and we see God created, and he looked, and he said it was good. It was perfect. There was no brokenness. Verse 17, God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light. And it's talking about the stars and the sun to dominate the light and the night, and to separate light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, so God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And then if we jump down to verse 27, we see that God made, or verse 26, God made man, right? Let us make an image, make in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish and the sea and the birds and the sky and the livestock and all the earth and all the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God and created the male and female. And so we see here God's creation, and it was good and it was perfect. And we look into these verses just in the opening chapter of Genesis, and we see that God created our gender identity, right? Male and female in verse 27. He created families. Be fruitful and multiply. That was his intent for marriage, is to be fruitful and multiply the earth and offspring and all that stuff. And then our work life, Genesis 1, verses 28 through 30, and chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He gave us charge over the earth, right? Because we are the pinnacle of creation. We are in God's image. We are to reflect God's glory here in this creation. That was his intention. That was his design for us. And then our rest life. He gave us a day to rest, right? And our marriages, leave and cleave, Genesis 2, 24. It says they're to leave mother and father and become one flesh, right? That's God's design for us. And also God designed us for relationship with him, right? In Genesis 3, God came down and was recorded him, God walking in the garden, right? Looking for Adam and Eve. Man, how cool would that be to have a relationship with God where we're encountering him every day? And that's what was the intention, to have our God to be among his people and his creation that carried his image. And then we find mankind's relationship with God was broken if we continue to read in Genesis chapter 3, right? Because of the fall. It took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the one thing that God asked them not to do. God was completely taking care of them, had complete, perfect communion with them. Everything was good. Their marriage relationship, could you guys imagine a marriage where every word that was spoken was to the glory of God, and not one word was a slight or an attack, right? Wow. But we know things are broken. It's not that way anymore. And we know because of Genesis 3, because of the fall. God said, if you partake of this fruit, you will surely die. And we know that's a physical death, but it's also a spiritual death. And death means separation. And we are separated from our Creator because of the fall. And we're born into sin. We're born separated from our God. This is what the Bible declares. This is what's God's design, but something has happened. Romans 5, verse 12, Paul writes this, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man," that's through Adam, "and death through sin," death, separation, "in this way death spread to all men." We all are suffering from the brokenness caused by sin. And what is sin? Sin is departing from God's design, rebelling against God's design, doing our own way, doing life our own way, and not taking God's design into account. We're separated from Him, and we know, as we've thus demonstrated this so far, that sin leads to brokenness, right? And we are all victims of it. Our families are victims of brokenness. Our marriages are victims of brokenness. Right? Our relationship with our God separated is because of brokenness. And the problem is we get into this world and the world says, this is what you need to escape brokenness. Right? And this is what you need. We feel the shame and the guilt and we know we're broken. And so we go to turn to drugs and alcohol to try to numb the pain. Or society says, well, you need this. And it's man-centered. It's not pointing them back to God. It's man-centered. All you need is just need a better you. And you'll escape your brokenness. And the problem is these arrows demonstrate we try to escape our brokenness, but it's like an elastic band. It just snaps us back after a certain time, right? And the farther we try to break out of it and the longer and harder we run, the harder the crash is coming back when it snaps us back into the reality that we're broken and we can't escape our brokenness. So God's design was perfect. God's design for us was good. He had a design for every moment of our life and every part of our life and a portion of our life. But because of sin and because of who we are, born into the sin nature that we have. Sin nature is really easy to prove. Not one time did I have to teach my daughters to do wrong. Right? We're always pointing them to the right way or the truth because naturally they just do what's wrong, right? And that's the sin nature in us. So all of us are affected by it, and all because of that, we're all broken. But then there's some good news. There's some good news. We can't escape our brokenness in our own right, in our own strength, in our own power. A new and better me is just going to be a broken better me. Might be, right? That's right. But there's some good news, and that is called what we call the gospel, and that's exactly what the word gospel means. It's good news. So we go back to 2 Corinthians 5, and we pick it up in there in verse 20. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And so we go out and we engage our culture and we say, be reconciled to God. But look at verse 21. And this is the good news. This is the gospel in one verse. "He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us." Who is that, church? That's right. Christ came, stepped into his creation. God in the flesh came and lived amongst us. He lived and fulfilled the law perfectly. He was the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. Because he was God, he did not suffer from the same sinful nature that we had. But he didn't just come to be an example. He didn't come just to rule and reign. He came to save those who were lost. And he did that by going to the cross. And on the cross, the sin, the punishment for sin, because God is holy and just, because God cannot be in the presence of sin, God must, because he is just, punish sin. And that spotless Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, went to the cross, and God the Father poured out his wrath on Christ that day for sin, not for his sin, but for ours. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. Jesus took the punishment, that eternal punishment was taken by our eternal God that one time on the cross. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is called the gospel. This is the good news. It's a gift. that God has given us because of his love. He's holy and just. He must punish sin. He punished sin on Christ that day. But he's also a God of love and mercy and grace. And because of that, because he punished sin, he took that sin and punished it. He remains just, but then he gives us the righteousness that Christ had, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's a gift given to us by our God. That is the good news. That is the good news. We are broken. We are separated from our God. But God has made a way for us to be reconciled to him through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how does one partake of the gospel, this good news? I remember, and I think I've shared several times now, that when someone was preaching and presented the gospel to me, I'm like, okay, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to join the church. I'm going to have to be baptized. I'm going to have to do all these things. And then he said, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a gift. He offers it to us. All we have to do is believe and trust in that message alone. And part of it is, so we see believe, and we've been discussing that in John, in our John series, right? How many times did John say believe, right? Those that believe have eternal life. Those that do not are condemned. They're still broken. They're still separated from their God. But we also have to repent. And repent is just a biblical word that says we have a change of mind. We know that getting out of this brokenness and this escape from what sin has caused in our world can't be in our own wise. So we change our mind and say, no, I'm gonna place all my trust and faith in Christ alone. We're changing our mind of how we escape that brokenness and that sin, and we trust in Christ. So that change of mind leads to a change of direction in our life, because we're no longer trying to get through remove our brokenness through religion or anything else. We're trusting in the gospel message, in the message of Christ alone. So to turn and believe. And that's the promise. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And when that happens, this amazing thing happens. And we find it there in 2 Corinthians 5 again, verse 17. We believe and trust in the gospel. The scriptures declare that God gives us a new heart that seeks after him, that he makes us alive in Christ. We're separated from our God before the gospel message, before we believe in the gospel message. And by believing and trusting in God alone, he's given us a new heart and a new life. Look, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. When you believe and trust in the gospel, you're regenerated, you're born again, and you become a new creation. And that gives us the opportunity to recover and pursue God's original design for us, because we now walk in the power of our God. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation. He's given us, we're now adopted into his family, no longer separated from him, and we can recover his design for us. And we know as Christians, right, we wish it were instantaneous after we got saved. That would be nice, right? But it's a process. It's a process of sanctification, pursuing our Christ, our God, our Lord, day by day, and allowing him to change us from the inside out. We can pursue God's design in marriage, in our work life, and all those things that God has originally designed. It's an amazing gift that's given to us for those who believe and trust in the gospel message. So my question for us this morning, where do you see yourself in this diagram? Where do you see yourself? And if it's in the area of brokenness and all those things, my question to you today is, what is preventing you from accepting the Lord Jesus and believing and trusting in his good news? All you have to do if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess to him, Lord, save me, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from your Creator. And for those who do believe, my question for us this morning, including myself, what is preventing us from going out and sharing this wonderful message of the gospel?
Would that be a part of brokenness?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have to walk the gospel every day, don't we? Lord, save me from my brokenness. Yeah, absolutely. So my challenge for us this morning, I think this would be a good thing for all of us to do. Let's think of one person, or maybe it might be several. But my challenge is just one person that you'll commit to pray for and ask God for the doors of opportunity to be able to share with them sometime this year this message of the gospel. God's design, but we've departed it from God's design, and that's called sin, the Bible calls it. But sin leads to brokenness, and we try to escape it in our own way, and religion and all those things, but that doesn't, right? It just snaps us back. But God has provided a way through the gospel. Jesus came to earth to die on the cross, and he rose again. And in that gospel message, we have given new life, reconciled to our God, right? We're ambassadors. We need to say, be reconciled to God. Well, how do you do that? Let me show you. It's to the gospel. Let's commit to one person this year that we'll share this message with and we'll pray for. And I am looking forward to many Sundays of celebration when someone gets to come forward and say, shared the message. And they believed. All right, I shared the message and they didn't shut me down. Praise God. Right. Opens up the door for more opportunities, conversations. Will you guys do that with me? Let's think of one person and commit to praying for them, okay? And then asking God to give us the courage and the boldness to be able to share the message. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and are so thankful for the gospel. Oh, you're so good. And Lord, we so desire you to use us. We want to be your ambassadors, Lord. But I, like probably many in this room, confess that we're fearful of being rejected. We're fearful of not sharing it correctly. And God, that's where the message that Jesus gave us in his last words, Lord, that he is with us always to the end of the age. Father, so help us, Lord. Encourage us, embolden us, give us wisdom to be able to share this wonderful truth of the gospel message to those around us, Lord. Help us, God. We so desire those around us to be saved. But it's only through your strength and your power. So we call out to you, we cry out to you, Father, for your goodness and your grace just to shower down upon us, Lord, that we might be emboldened for your glory's sake, that others might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And it's in his name we ask these things.